Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Samach Vav Omud Aleph. And we are in the middle of the third volume of Mishnah Berurah, in the middle of Simen Shin Chav Ches, dealing with the halachos of Refuah on Shabbos. We almost completely finished Sif Yotes yesterday. We just have one last piece of the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Samach Gimel to conclude. Yesterday we talked about that you are allowed to have a non-Jewish person cook for a chole she'ein bo sakana on Shabbos. And the question we'll now address today, beginning on the third line of the Mishnah Berurah on Sif Katan Kuf Samach Vav Omer Aleph, is what about Bishul Akum? So we said for the non-Jewish person to cook, he's normally a problem with Bishul Akum, but for the chole she'ein bo sakana, he's allowed to eat it. The question is, what happens after Shabbos with those kelim? So the Mishnah Berurah says, "Hakelim shall bishule einam yehudim tzrichim hechsher." This, like all other kelim that have a problem with bishul akum, a non-Jewish person cooks perfectly kosher food in your kelim, those kelim need to be kosher. They have blios over here that are considered non-kosher because of bishul akum. And this is true afilu kilcheres, even if it's earthenware utensils. Kiven de ikar isuru einu elam d'rabbanan. Since the issue here is only an issue of the rabbanon of bishul akum, therefore dayo im magilo shalosh pamim. It's sufficient if you go and do hagala on them 3 times. But these utensils do require some sort of kashering over here from the bishul akum, even though you were allowed to eat from it on Shabbos because it was being cooked for you, the chole she'ein bo sakana. Then the Mishnah Berurah concludes, be the evet in bishul bo b'li hagala v'yesh rov b'tavshil. If you did not do hagala on these kelim, and then you in fact cooked in them again, so then we say that the act of cooking over here will be an act of hagala and mutter. You can eat the food in this situation. There is a more makel opinion that says you don't have to do any kashering over here of the utensil. And if one were to rely upon this lenient opinion, one can in fact do so without, quote, losing. Now we go to Siv Chof, which is actually found on the last line of Kuf Samach Hayomid Beis. And the Mechaber writes, Ein nosten yayin lesoch ayin. You're not allowed to go put wine into an eye. You're doing this for medicinal purposes. Or the litno agabov and to put it on top of the eye. And then the person in poseach v'sogra ayin, he'll open and close his eyes so the wine will drip into his eye, which they felt would be somehow medicinal, therapeutic. Also, you're not allowed to do this because that's taking therapy on Shabbos, which is not allowed. However, if you don't open and close your eyes, so you just put the wine near your eye, and you're not really assisting in any way in getting into the eye, then it's actually permissible to do this. Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Katan Samach Dalet, the kol mili dehul refuah, anything that's for medicinal purposes, the rabbis made gzeira, gazu rabbanim, mishum shchikas samimonim. You're not allowed to do this because you may come to go and grind, doing an issur daraisa of grinding the herbs and the spices, making various medications. The issue footnote number 69 brings down that we already said previously in Sif Katan Chod Beis, shibacholia ayin yesh sakonis nefashos, that there is a aspect of chola shiyesh bo sakona, and that you're allowed to go and take care of eyes by putting in salves or other ointments on Shabbos. So how come here you're not allowed to? So the Shon HaLachos brings down over here that we're talking about at the conclusion of the eye illness, which as we had previously learned, that is not considered a cholo shiyesh bo sakana. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Samach Hei explains, if you help and assist by opening and closing your eyes, then you're not allowed to have the wine above the eye. Kidei she'ikanes l'socha, because you're opening and closing the eye is to facilitate the wine getting into the eye, which is medicinal. And in that situation, you're not allowed to do this. Diozmuchach milsa l'ufu osa. It's clear that you're doing it for medicinal purposes, which, as we said many times, is osur. But if you don't do so, then we said it's mutter. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Katan Samach Vav, the Amrinam, we say in this situation, L'richitza b'yam hu d'yavit. He's just washing over here, and he's not doing it for medicinal purposes. This is based on Rashi and the Gemara over there. However, the Mishnah Berurah says nowadays, V'idna, she'ein derech l'richos b'yayin, nobody washes themselves with wine. And therefore, if you are putting wine near your eye, it's clear you're doing it for medicinal purposes. And he brings down the name of the Morgan of Rabbi and the Shagas Ayyeh, that it would be forbidden, usr. The Mechaber continues and he writes, Virok Tofel, you have spittle over here that is undiluted. Mishnah Berurah explains in Siv Katan Samach Zayin, we're talking here about kosher lo tom klum mishenayar. You haven't eaten anything yet, so it's, quote, undiluted. It's pure plain saliva without anything else impacting it because you haven't eaten anything since you've woken up. And this is very strong saliva, shuchazak. And if you're using this saliva for something, it's clear that you're using it for medicinal purposes. Because the Mishnah Berurah explains, Diru l'chitzo mosu, because it's disgusting to use this for cleaning purposes. And therefore, the Mechaber tells us over here that rog tofel afilu agabav osur. You're not allowed to use this even on the eyebrow over here, above the eye, because it's clear that you're doing it for medicinal purposes, as he says, demuchach milsa d'rufua ovid. The Mishnah Berurah continues over here, and he writes, "Bim rochets piv bimayim." If you rinse your mouth out, and then viachakach mavira alenav shari, then you take that saliva, that water that's from your mouth, and you put that in your eyes, even though it has saliva in it, that is permissible. Afshim uruv barok, even though there is saliva in it, because we say in that situation, damrin and lirichitzavi, that's not disgusting, and that is considered normal washing of the eyes, and it wouldn't be considered that you're using saliva over here for medicinal purposes. However, v'im lo yachol levtoch enov, if you can't open up your eyes, it's so pasty and crusty over here, yachol lelachlchon barok tofil, then you could actually go and open it up somehow with saliva. Dein zerfu, it's clear that that's not for medicinal purposes, that's just to get the paste out of your eyes to allow you to open your eyes. And he brings us down the name of Acharonim. Siv Chaf Aleph, the Mechaber writes, Shore Odom Kilorin, the Erev Shabbos. When they make this salve, some sort of a lotion or a wash or a salve that people used to clean their eyes in the olden days, you are allowed to prepare this on Erev Shabbos. So you're adding water to this product over here called this Kilorin. The nose in Al-Gavayim is Shabbos. And then you can use this product on your eyes on Shabbos. That's not considered medicinal. Sheino nira ela kirochets. It looks like you're just washing your eyes because it is diluted. But this is, of course, with the person not opening and closing his eyes. And in this situation where you prepared it on Erev Shabbos, the Mechaber tells us, we're not concerned over here, Mishum Shlichas Samonim, that it looks like over here you're making medicines on Shabbos, which is not allowed, Gzera Derabanan. The Kivan Shlohi Tirulo Lishros and Elam Erev Shabbos, since you had to do this on Erev Shabbos, it will be a clearly recognizable thing, Ika Hakera, that you're doing this on Erev Shabbos and not making medications on Shabbos, and therefore a person won't come to go and go make additional medicines on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Samaches explains that this kilorin is dafka bekilor tzolul. It's only if it's a very thin type of a kilor, not a thick. Shaz nira kirochets. Then it looks like when you diluted it with water that you're just washing with water. Al ba'av, if it's a very thick solution over here, then it would be prohibited. Aser. K'mosh kosev simin reishon beis siv hey. And Dirshu footnote number 71 reminds us that over there we learned that there's a chashash of yimareach, that you may be smearing it. But if you put it on your eyes on Erev Shabbos, then you're allowed to continue wearing it on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Samach Tes explains that we're not concerned over here if you diluted it on Erev Shabbos that you may come to go and do Shechikas Amonim. Rotz Lomar, the Mishnah Berurah explains that Mechaber is telling us over here, Du Yadeya Dil Refua Kov, it's clear that he's doing it for medicinal purposes on Erev Shabbos. And nevertheless, Hafel Pikein L'Didei Ika Hekera, since you're doing it on Erev Shabbos, that is a built-in reminder, Midematzruch L'Shros from Erev Shabbos, since you have to do it on Erev Shabbos, you're not going to come and do it on Shabbos. V'tzorech Lomar, and you have to add over here, the whole lo choshishu b'siv chaf mishum hu atzmo. In siv chaf, we just explained that you're allowed to put the wine near the eye as long as you don't open and close the eye. Shiny hasim over there was different. The kivin shederech lichorts b'yayim letanug b'alma, since in those days people did put wine on their faces and used it just for purely enjoyable purposes, not for medicinal purposes. Therefore, lochein lekum mishum chashash chal. Therefore, the rabbis didn't have to institute any sort of a concern that you have to do that on Erev Shabbos. Aval halcha here, shein osin kein el l'refuah. The only time people used this kilorin was for refuah purposes. Therefore, tzarech hakera. He brings down from the old Shabbos and the Tosef Shabbos that you have to make sort of a heker over here by doing it on Erev Shabbos as opposed to the wine, which you're allowed to do even on Shabbos. Sivkot and Chav Beis, Ma'avirin Gildei Hamaka V'Sochen Osa B'Shemen. One is permitted to go and remove a scab on Shabbos, and then to anoint it or smear it with oil on Shabbos. However, Avalo B'Chele, but you can't use various fats. Why not? Mipnei Shu Nimoach, because this will go and dissolve over here, which Dirshu footnote number 74 reminds us is an Issa of Nolad. Others alternatively bring down that the Isra over here is mamachik, that you're going to rub it in. And the Mechaber adds over here, v'afilu bigmar maka, and even if the wound is almost fully healed already, you're allowed to do this delek elatzara. Even though it's not really for medicinal purposes over here, even though it's only going to be to help alleviate the pain, it is still allowed. However, the Mechaber tells us, aval ain't nosin aleo shemen, v'chamin mover yachad. You're not allowed to go put oil and hot water that are mixed together on this wound, v'lo age b'moch. Take this solution of hot water and oil and put it on some sort of a cotton and place it on the wound. That is also not allowed. Lit no allow. I will know sinu chutz lamaka, but you can put it near the wound, vishosis, and it will drip down into the wound, viyore lesocha. That is allowed. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Ayin that you're allowed to anoint the scab over here that you picked, the bizmanon hayoderech habriyim b'sicha b'shemen, because it was routine that healthy people would also anoint themselves with oil, so it's not considered automatically medicinal, even though you're anointing a scab. As I just said, the Mishnah Berurah explains, v'lo mucha milsu d'lefuah, because it's not clear that you're doing it for medicinal purposes, because many healthy people do this as well. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out, Ayin masha kosav haramo b'simen shinchav zayin sif aleph b'agah, linya medinosein, he says, nowadays that we don't do this, so you wouldn't be allowed to anoint it with oil. However, he does say, "Mistaver de bigamar maka," at the conclusion of the healing of the wound, almost all done, "gam b'dinosenu shari b'shemen," you would be allowed to go put oil on it at that point in time. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Ayin Aleph says, but you can't do this with fat. V'u'adin im ha'shemen ha'yakorish. Likewise, you wouldn't be able to do this with solidified oil, because that would be the dami l'chelev, that would be very similar to fat, which is not permitted. And this brought down the name of the Mordechai in the Gemara in Shabbos in Baperik Bameh Tomnin. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Ayin Beis explained that even if it's only towards the end, when the wound is almost all healed, and you're only alleviating some pain, that's allowed. The lekut sara elatanuk ba'almo, because that's considered something that's considered pleasurable over here, and not really for medicinal purposes. Kain tzarech lomar, that's really what you have to say over here. He adds these words in the Mishnah Berurah, the lekut sara elatanuk ba'almo. It's not really something that's painful, but it's talking about that you're doing it purely for the pleasure. You may be relieving some pain, but you're doing it really for pleasure purposes, and that's really the way to understand this and read this, says the Mishnah Berurah. Ken Tzarech Lomar. Rots Lomar, in other words, we're saying, V'afti b'behema osu mishum tanug b'almo, kidilikama misim in shin lamed beisif beis. We're going to learn over there that you're not allowed to go and put oil on an animal for pure pleasure purposes. Nevertheless, for a human being, afilu hochi ba'odim shari, by a human being, you're allowed to do something over here for pure pleasure purposes. But the Mechaber told us you can't put oil with hot water together, and the Mishnah Berurah explains this, Sifkot Ayin Gimel, the Bazeh, in this situation, when you have the oil mixed with the hot water, Muchach Milsa Shulur Fu, that's clear being done for medicinal purposes and not for pleasure purposes. And the Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Ayin Dalet extends further, and he says, V'chamin Levad, just using hot water alone, it's Mashmim Mogen Avraham Deshari, that is allowed. Kemoshem Levad, just like oil alone is allowed, because that's not going to always be for medicinal purposes, so too, hot water alone is also allowed, because it's not for medicinal purposes necessarily. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Ayin Hei says, you're likewise not allowed to go put it on a moch, on a piece of cotton or a piece of cloth, and then put that on the wound with hot water and oil. In this situation where you're putting some hot water onto a moch, onto some sort of a cloth or a cotton or garment over here, and you're placing that on the wound, and it's not clear, it's not going to be viewed by others as being done for medicinal purposes, so one should say it should be allowed. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, Gam kein osur mishum schita. There's another reason why you can't do this, because when you press down with this cotton fluid-filled item on the wound, so you're going to press down and you're going to squeeze it out. And therefore, there's an issur of schita over here. However, avol b'shem l'chud lo gazrinim, but with oil alone, the rabbis did not make such a gazera. The ein derech kibus b'shem, because one normally doesn't clean things with oil, and therefore the schita, which is really part of kibus over here, is not a problem when it's dealing with oil as opposed to hot water, as we've already learned, k'de'el b'sim and shinyun tes. Mishnah Berurah continues in Sifkot and Ayin Vavin says you can't put the oil and the hot water on the moch. The hu adin im hamoch hayanosu mikodim alamaka. Likewise, even if the cotton is already on the wound, you're still not allowed to pour the oil and the hot water onto it. Gam kin osu litin alecham v'shemen, or even alecham l'chud, as we just explained. In this situation, it doesn't make a difference whether it first was on the moch and then you put it on the wound, or the moch is on the wound and then you put on the hot water and the oil, or just the hot water alone. In all of these cases, it is forbidden. Osur. But the Mechaber did tell us that you can put it near the wound and it will drip out onto the wound. That's allowed. The Mishnah Berurah explains this of Kot Nayin Zayin, because in this situation, the Lo Muchach Milsa Dilurfuah, because he brings down from Rashi, it's not clear that you're doing this for medicinal purposes and therefore it's allowed. And therefore, Ulefi Zeh, based upon this, the Mishnah Berurah says, Ah, b'medino seinu, she'ein derech losuch b'shemen, gam kein shari b'zeh. Even though nowadays we don't anoint with oil, so we said an oil, we brought down by the Ramah, that you're not allowed to go and do this with oil, because we don't normally anoint healthy people with oil, so therefore, when you're using it on a sick person, it looks like it's for medicinal purposes. Nevertheless, this hot water and oil concoction over here, that would be permitted, because that is done for healthy people. Sivchab Gimel. The Mechaber writes, Nost in Sfog, you can take a sponge, or Vachatichos Begodim Yeveshim, or pieces of cloth from dried out clothing, Vachadoshim, and new ones. What do we mean by and new ones? So the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot Nayin Ches, Ayin the Taz, Shekosav Dahai Vachadoshim, the word Vachadoshim over here, Lo Koya Sfog, is not going on a new sponge over here, the Hosav Afilu B'Yishanim Shari, because even an old sponge, that's allowed, Shenam Arabim, because they don't do anything beneficial for the person, medicinally speaking, Udalokidasa Torah, as opposed to what the Torah said that they do. And he says that as well, V'chein Kosav El Yerab, i.e., just like the Taz, not like the Torah. So to read this now properly, based upon the Taz and El Yeraba, we'd read this line of the Mechaber as follows. You're allowed to go take a sponge, and as well, you're allowed to take pieces of dry clothing, even if it's new, and place it on a wound over here on Shabbos, because she'ein l'rifua, it's not being used for medicinal purposes. Why then are you putting this sponge or these dry clothing garments that are new on this wound, because you want to protect the wound over here and it won't get rubbed by the clothing, and you're putting some sort of like a band-aid on top of it over here. However, but you can't use old clothing over here. It must be new clothing, because old clothing, shehem mirapim, will have some sort of a medicinal benefit. The issue footnote number 76 brings down, v'chein begodim yishonim bizman hazeh, nowadays old clothing as well. I don't understand what the mekan was in those days, but certainly nowadays, new clothing or old clothing will not have any medicinal benefit by being put on the wound, and therefore, the issue footnote number 76 says that ein mishtam shemem l'refu, you don't use new or old clothing for medicinal purposes, so it's the opinion of Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, shemistaver sheish lohokel lachbosh behem betzom, you would be allowed to use new or old clothing over here to protect the wound, to use it like as a band-aid. However, Dayan Weiss Zatzal, the Minchas Yitzchok, disagrees, and he writes, "Ein lo hakel b'zeh elu l'inyan tinok." The only time you can be lenient over here is not with an adult, but only with a baby. Kivon shedino kechol l'shem b'sakon, because by definition he's a chol l'shem b'sakon, as we learned the other day, and therefore you would be allowed to go put this on the wound of a baby. And furthermore, he says, "Kivon shurgilin latov tino b'bagadim v'chitulim," since we always put on diapers and cloth garments on a baby anyway. That's normal, so to say, to put this on a baby. So it's also considered normal to put it on the wound, even according to Dayan Weiss. But for an adult, he would say you wouldn't be allowed to go and do this. Now we go back to the Mechaber, who qualifies this statement himself, and he writes, "V'hani mili yishanim, these old garments over here, shelo nitnu me'olam ala maka, that have never been put on a maka before, they could possibly have some benefit medicinally. Aval hayu kvar ala maka, but if they were already placed in the maka, afilu yishanim sharim, then you could return them, you could put these old garments back again on the maka, because they only have medicinal benefit somehow the first time, that the shuv ainam rapim, but they put them on an additional time, they wouldn't have the medicinal benefit, and it's obviously clear they're using it just to protect the wound." Siv Chof Dalet. The Mechaber writes, "Nostim ole al gabi mako b'Shabbos." You can put some sort of a leaf to protect the wound on Shabbos, on top of a wound on Shabbos. Shein ole al kimishama, because it's using it to protect the wound, it doesn't heal the wound. One exception being chutz me ale gifanim, except for the leaves of a vine, shehem l'refua. They do have medicinal benefit, and that wouldn't be allowed on Shabbos because of the gzeira of shchika samanim. You may come to go and grind stuff, so therefore we don't let you do any medicine on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Ayin Tes, "V'uadin shar olim hayidum shem rapin." This would be true for any type of a leaf that had medicinal properties to it, not just the grapevine leaf that we just mentioned. And the Ramah adds, "Vein nostim gemi alamaka shem rape." You're likewise not allowed to go put a gemi, a reed, on top of a wound, because that also will heal the wound. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Pei, "Look in the El Yerabah, Ayin Be'El Yerabah, the Mitzadi, the Ein Chiluk Begemi Ben Lach Liyavish." It makes no difference whether this reed over here is moist or dry, and this is also Mashma in the Bir HaGrot, doesn't make any difference, Ayin Sham. Then he tells us, Ayin also in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yudeis and Rashi over there, Dibra Maskul Shekol, the Mashma Sham, it seems to imply over there, the Gemi Yavish Muktze Nami Habe, that in addition to a gemi not being allowed to be used because of medicinal purposes, a dry gemi would also be muktzah. However, but if you prepared it beforehand, which is what you could say over here, then it wouldn't be muktzah, but nevertheless, afiluhochi would be aser because it is medicinal. Finally, we'll conclude with Dirshu footnote number 72, who brings down that the heter that we gave to go and prepare the kilorin on Erev Shabbos is a specific heter only for this kilo rin over here. But you wouldn't be allowed to go and prepare other medications on Erev Shabbos, with the exception of other types of medications that you mix into food or into a liquid on Erev Shabbos, then you'd be allowed to take them on Shabbos. Shekivon shetchilas l'kichas l'refuah v'hachanoso l'shimosh hois of Erev Shabbos. In this situation, you're really preparing it on Erev Shabbos, it would have the same din as the kilo rin that you've shown and made a recognition over here that you're doing it on Erev Shabbos. As opposed to other medications which don't have this preparation, you wouldn't be allowed to go take on Shabbos. And in fact, Dayan Weiss Zatzal, as well as Rav Ozer Zatzal, both bring down that you can even take advantage of mixing this pill with food on Shabbos itself for a chol she'ein bo sakana. And furthermore, Nissen Karlitz Shlita brings down, if you put the food into the food on Erev Shabbos and it's not recognizable that it's in the food at all, then even a healthy person would be allowed to eat this on Shabbos, even though he knows that there's a medication inside. Certainly, a chol she'ein bo sakana, but even a healthy person could eat this. With that, we conclude today's shiur.